We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's playoff time even here in Phoenix, and that means big stakes and bigger promotions. Every day of basketball playoffs, DraftKings will have $20,000 in total prizes up for grabs. Yeah, you heard that right. 20 G's, baby. The best part, it's free to get your shot at these daily cash prizes. DraftKings will be offering two free to play pools every day of the NBA playoffs, offering players a free shot at 20 G's in total prizes. DraftKings free to play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to the pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash and prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's basketball games and track your results throughout the day. Questions will range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. It is the fans' best friend when it comes to daily fantasy sports. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code TBPN. That's promo code TBPN when you sign up to get your free shot at $20,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings pools pages to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code TBPN for limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details.
Your Phoenix Suns have gone to Los Angeles and did what they needed to do. They split the two games at the Staples Center, winning again on a Sunday. Those 12:30 games have been treating the Suns pretty nice so far as they defeat the Lakers by a score of 100-92 and now have tied the series in the first round, two games apiece. Welcome to everybody who is joining us, whether you are watching along live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, or if you are listening on the Bright Side of the Sun podcast network. We truly appreciate it. I'm going to bring in Matthew. How you doing over there, bud?
Oh, I'm positive as hell. Positive Nancy over here. Way to go, Suns. I love everything I saw tonight. Absolutely a great victory. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Saul, how you doing? It looks like you're still kicking it in Idaho.
I'm still stuck in Idaho, but great day. That was a phenomenal win, and the only thing I got to say is, oh, how the turntables
have turned. The turntables have turned, y'all.
Yes.
And welcome, Espo.
There he is.
Are you in Houston, my friend? Houston, do we have an Espo?
Yes, I am in Houston, and we don't have a problem here. We are in good hands right now. The series is even in more ways than one. We now have seen, as Saul said, the turns have tabled on the Lakers here. And now Lakers fans are probably going to be bemoaning a lot of the same things Suns fans have. through the first four games of the series, but home court's back and everything's good, boys.
Inadvertently, we have taken this show nationally. I don't know how this happened, but I'm in Idaho, Espo's in Houston. I don't know what's going on.
And we're at a bar in Tempe, Arizona, because that's where Matthew and I like to hang out, is bars. So apparently, and we've got Paul right here from Fanning the Flames is joining us. We have it was a fun little watch party out here at Four Peaks in Tempe. So thank you to Four Peaks for hosting the Suns Jam session / the Suns Solar Panel, all of which you are now international, or not international, just national, whether it be in Idaho or in Texas. We're coming from you all over the place. So thank you again to everybody who is watching along live. This is a reminder that if you are doing that, please go ahead and hit the subscribe button. If you're on YouTube, smash the like button. You can become an elite jamster or a flaming baller by clicking the join button or following the link in the description. Feel free to donate to the show via the super chat, because if you do, Matthew and I might actually get to go to game five. Okay. We could use those donations for game five. Okay. Please be sure to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll read it right here on the pod. You can email the show, sunsjamsession@gmail.com. You can follow the show at Suns Jam. You can follow the Suns Solar Panel at Suns Solar Panel. You can follow me at Darth Void. You can follow Matthew.
I'm Matthew Lissay.
You can follow Espo.
That Espo.
You can follow so easy for you. I'm so jealous. And you can follow Saul.
That's all. Step back, Bookman.
Agba, there you go. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, are you guys drinking nationally?
No. It's downstairs.
Dude,
it's downstairs.
It's hot outside.
Well, cheers, Matthew. Cheers to all the Suns fans. Suns win, baby. Suns win. Let's talk about beating those Los Angeles Lakers.
Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Come on, let me hear you say.
And beat LA, the Suns did today by a score of 100-92. Saul, you nailed it. I mean, the tables have turned, the turns have tabled. I mean, it's literally a carbon copy of game three, except it went in the Suns' favor, especially with Anthony Davis going down. Saul, why don't you kind of kick us off and tell us what your thoughts are? And what do you think about the Anthony Davis injury? Is it going to be something that we should be looking at going into game five, or do you think this is just something temporary? Will he be hampered moving forward?
Well, I mean, clearly he was hurt if he couldn't finish out the game. So he's going to be, I assume he's going to be a little banged up going into the next game if he plays. But, you know, hey, listen, we've been down this road for the last three games with CP3 playing the way he's been playing and hurt the way he was hurt. So, hey, there's no sympathy points going the Lakers' way for this, for sure. I think, you know, this is why when you talk about the Lakers and the teams that kind of coast and kind of, you know, find their way towards the end and do the load management thing and sit these guys. When they get to the playoffs, they're not quite ready. And I think game one of all games might come back to haunt the Lakers because they weren't completely ready to go in game one. Anthony Davis only having 13 points, but everybody was healthy for them. And so now you got CP3 starting to come back. AD gets hurt. This is what you feared if you were a Lakers fan, is that one of your main two guys was going to get hurt because they've been plagued with injuries all season, and here we go. And now this is a golden opportunity. Game five is probably going to be the biggest game in this of basketball in the last 12 years, for sure, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last show, that it was about the Suns imposing their will, Monty making changes, figuring things out. Well, the Suns did that today, and it not exactly in the first quarter. It took them a little while to figure out how to implement that, but it was fast pace. The Lakers can't keep up with the Suns when they push the pace, and that's when the Suns' shooting started to find its rhythm as well. Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges hit a few. It started to snowball when the Suns pushed the pace, and that was even before Anthony Davis left the game. So the Suns have found something that's working. Now, Frank Vogel will make adjustments, but if Anthony Davis is even limited, not even out, that's a huge advantage for this Suns team, because much like where the Suns don't have depth after Ayton, the Lakers don't have depth behind Anthony Davis at all. I mean, they're throwing bodies. They're throwing Markieff Morris and hoping Montrezl Harrell, after they benched him, can come in and do something for him. There's just a lot of things that they're attempting, going to have to attempt to do. They're going to have to adjust, but the Suns need to keep pushing the pace and doing what worked in this game four, because that was the first time we saw the Suns of this season out there on the floor. It felt like that second and third quarter was what that regular season was for the Suns team and how they wound up with that two seed.
Yeah, with Anthony Davis being out, it's like, how did the Suns handle this? Honestly, it's like, tonight was great. They got the win, but if he's out next game, they got to do a lot better job of taking care of the ball. They still made a lot of mistakes towards the end. I know it's still the Lakers. I know it's tough playoff matchup with the defense and all that, but they have to do better, man. And if they're going to win next game, oh, go ahead. Yeah,
no, go ahead. Finish your thought. Sorry.
No, that's it. I'm just saying, because they were up 15 or 16, but it got to a point where it's like, if you're going to take your time on offense, get a better shot, all that. I'm not trying to be negative right now. I'm just saying, I just know within the last 5 minutes, no matter what the score is, it's going to be tough. So next game, if AD is not there, Suns need to make sure they can shore up those mistakes, because they were still there tonight. But I mean, it's a great overall win. It really is. But to win next game, they got to do a lot better, I think.
But I also want you to step back and think about this. In game two, we were coming down the stretch, 4 minutes left to go. Who was not the guy on the court that couldn't do anything for us? It was CP3. He was missing. He couldn't play. We had CP3 towards the end of this game. He came in, kind of calmed everybody down, and we won. And I think that's the biggest difference, right? You know, you still got young guys on this team that are trying to figure out, you know, how to play down the stretch. And when you know the Lakers were going to make a run, I think we were probably more scared of it than the players were, especially CP3. And once he came into the game, he kind of settled everybody down, and they hit a couple big shots, and that was that. So,
but give Monty credit. He let kind of that unit with Campaign out there play until it started to wane, and then he knew exactly when to get CP3 in there to calm it down for that final 4 minutes. And you're completely right, Saul. That influence, I think, had a big impact on why they didn't let the lead slide. Sure, they missed a few shots. CP3 missed one himself, but I think he was a calming presence. It wasn't, oh, here it goes, everything's going to snowball. It was, okay, guys, let's just do our take care of business on the defensive end, and we're fine. And they did. And you know, Matt, I think they played well down the stretch. The Lakers are going to make a run.
I'll get what I can fortify what Matthew's saying, because you look at that fourth quarter, and yeah, the Lakers made a run. They scored 27 points in the fourth. The Suns only scored 19. But both of you are correct, Saul and Espo, because yes, Monty did what he didn't do in game three in this game, is he made adjustments. Halftime, there were adjustments made. He had the ability in that fourth quarter to actually have that asset of CP3 to pull upon, which he didn't have that asset in the second or in game three, because it was clear that CP3 was hampered. It was clear that he wasn't going to have the ability to lead this team to victory or to assist in sustaining that Lakers run. Now, they made that run, and they're going to make that run, you know, and that's what happens. You're playing an NBA championship-level team. You're playing – even without AD, this is a team that has LeBron James, although there were a lot of bullshit calls kind of down the stretch, as per usual, with him. But, you know, I think that the fact that they had the ability to close them out in those final 2 minutes is what it came down to, because that run happened with about 10 minutes to about 2 minutes, and it was kind of like, okay – here come the fouls. Here comes the missed shots. Here comes the rush possessions. Here comes all these things that have been detrimental to the Suns. But once CP3 kind of calmed the team down, once those final 2 minutes happened, the Suns ultimately locked them out, won by a total of 8 points. And I couldn't be happier. Matthew, it's like God is shining down upon you. For some reason, the light is coming in right behind Matthew. Yeah. He looks like
beautiful.
And I'm also shining. I'm gonna bring into the podcast our friends from Fanning the Flames. They're joining us from right next to me. So there you go. There's Paul. There's Justin. Unmute yourselves and say what's up, guys.
What's up?
That's about right.
This is quality audio. This is about right. Yes.
I can't hear him at all.
And on that point, we love you, Fan of the Flames. Make sure you follow them at Fan the Flames NBA. Their audio is dog shit horrible, so we're going to remove them now. It was kind of like Saul after game two. You're like walking through a parking lot, just as you're like, yeah. And that was the end of that.
Yeah, basically.
So going back and looking at this game, you know, it kind of started off a little bit rocky for the Suns. You know, we did see CP3 taking a couple three-pointers early, which I thought was a very valuable sign. He had the strength behind the shoulder that allowed him an effort to actually put up those shots, and it didn't look like he was shot-putting for the 2020 Olympics. But Crowder came out and essentially was as cold as ice. His first two shots did not look good, and I did see somebody tweet out that Crowder is the sixth man for the Lakers. I'm so happy that that has changed. The narrative has changed by the end of the game. Jay Crowder showed up as we needed him to. When you look at the final box score, when you see the fact that the Phoenix Suns had all five starters score in double digits, that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you beat the Lakers. You don't sit there and say, Devin Booker, we need 34 from you. DeAndre Ayton, we need 22 from you. And any other points or bonus. When you have a total of six players, because Campaign also scored in double figures off the bench, you're going to win the game. And that's what we saw tonight.
I'm curious if anybody's got the stats in front of them, because I don't. But between Cam Johnson, Campaign, Mikal Bridges, and Jay Crowder, did they get at least 40 points?
All right, let me math this real quick. So you said Cam Johnson, who had 5, Campaign, who had 13, so that's 18. Mikal Bridges had 11, so that's 29. And then you add the 17 of Crowder. Yeah, that puts you over 40. That's 40. 45.
The other day, that was going to be my train of thought. If CP3 wasn't going to be as effective as he was today, then between those four guys, you needed to have 40 points. I feel like that will kind of sustain you, especially when you have a drop off when you go from Booker and CP3 to just Campaign and everybody else, especially the way Crowder and Mikal Bridges were playing, and Cam Johnson still hasn't really found his shot to a high degree. But today that changed, and Mikal, I thought, had his best game of the series today, and so did Jay Crowder shooting wise. Obviously,
you couldn't get any more. 4 for 12 from Mikal. But the thing you have to remember about Mikal is he has LeBron on him. It's nothing's easy for him.
It's not,
but he's taking the shots, which is important.
He also hit a very big three at a key time.
Huge,
and I think those are almost multiplied, right? Like, you hit a three in the first quarter, cool, that's one for one. But you hit a three in the fourth quarter with this team, the Lakers, making the run that they are, that's almost like times four, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the momentum factor is for sure paramount on those shots.
Yeah, and we're sitting here, we're telling Jay not to shoot early on those two first threes. We're like, come on, you know, pass it up, don't waste any possessions. But that's Monty Williams, right? Tell him to keep shooting. So, good thing we're not coaching this team, because honestly, be like, Jay, you're on the bench. I think Dave King said he's unplayable. A lot of the fans were saying that, and it's true. He was.
Yeah. But I said Monty wants these, I said too.
Yeah, and Monty wants these guys to keep shooting. He absolutely wants them to keep shooting because of this reason. He can hit a clutch three when it's needed in a game that we needed to win, because honestly, we don't get this one. Obviously, the series is over, but he's going to eventually get back into rhythm. So, I love that he kept forcing them at the end when he started making them. But it was kind of hard to watch, though, there for a little bit. But I love me some Jay.
Well, look, he's been, you know, good defensively, though. He's been a positive. And that's the thing. It was much like in games where DeAndre Ayton may not have had a huge offensive impact. It was the other end of the floor. You knew that Jay Crowder was going to provide you something if it wasn't offensively. And I love his toughness. He doesn't back down. He does not care that it's LeBron James who he's guarding at times, or when he was on Anthony Davis. He's going to play them just like any other guy he plays. And I loved that hard foul on LeBron. He saw that Marc Gasol got away with something like that, so he went, all right, well, I'm not going to give LeBron the easy layup. I'm not going to just allow him to waltz through the lane. I'm going to send a message. And then when LeBron started jawing at him, he just stared at him. And I loved that. That was the kind of thing that was saying, we're not going anywhere. If you guys want to get through us, you are going to have to work your asses off. And I appreciate that about Jay Crowder, because that's been the hallmark of this Suns team all year. They were the enforcers. They were the scrappy ones. And you saw that today, and Jay was a big part of that.
And that's what was missing in game three was, you know, as Saul so eloquently said, is we were allowing the Lakers to live rent-free in our heads. And whatever they wanted to do, physically, emotionally, they were pushing the Suns around. And I think that, you know, we all kind of knew there was going to be one inexperienced game, a game in which, especially with Chris Paul being injured or hampered, that the Suns wouldn't have the ability to push through those emotional moments, if you will. and they reset. They took a couple days off. CP3 is obviously feeling better. I think that, you know, we can talk about him here momentarily, but I can't echo enough what Espo just said. You know, Jay Crowder manning up to LeBron. You know, this whole team as a whole manning up to the opposition, saying, listen, we're the Phoenix Suns, okay? We are the number two seed. And you came out and you gave us your best shot again early in the first half, and we absorbed it. And then we decided that we're going to impose our will. And that's a phrase I will use time and time again relative to the Phoenix Suns and the way that they can play basketball in a positive manner. If you come into a game with the mindset that, listen, we need to impose what we do versus them allowing them to impose what they do, we have a mental edge. And that mental edge was back tonight. And I know that coming into this game, it's one of those things that I was definitely worried about. I mean, that game three was, it was a punch in the face for the Phoenix Suns. And to see Jay Crowder not allow it to, you know, not to put up with the bullshit, to see DeAndre Ayton continue to play physical, to see that Devin Booker, although again, you know, I think we can talk, Devin Booker didn't have a great game again, and it's understandable. You know, they're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at him. I think KCP not being in does help. I know that KCP isn't the greatest defender in the world, but, you know, bodies that are athletic against Devin Booker have been a challenge for him. And when he's part of a double or triple team, it's something that I think that he has problems with. What did you guys see without KCP being out there?
I'm going to disagree with you, Beth Floyd. The reason why is because Devin Booker is the superstar of this team, and he does need to play better. I don't give a shit. They throw the whole team at him. He's got to find a way. All the good ones find a way, and he's got to find a way. You know, tonight, for him not to score in the second half until under 5 minutes left to go in the game, that's unacceptable. You can't have
agreed.
That, you know, and if this team wants to get very far, Devin Booker is going to have to find that elite level of shooting and playmaking because he was pretty sloppy with the ball earlier on in the game. I saw a lot of comments. Even the commentators made several comments about or a comment about, you know, he was throwing the ball away and his passes weren't crisp and clean. Some of them were to DA, some of them were to other players, and he was getting mad at them. And I'm like, dude, you're the one making this bad play. Like, you're setting your team up for failure. And
thank you.
A player doesn't do that. Oh, I understand DA should have caught the ball a couple times, for sure. But the next time, you know, there was a specific play in the second half where I want to say it was Drummond or somebody was literally waiting right there on the block for Devin Booker to turn and go into him. And as soon as Devin Booker turned, Devin jumps, and he has nowhere to go with the ball. And he just turns the ball over. And I'm like, dude, you got to stop doing this kind of stuff. You should know that. You should know that. You should know by now. You're going to get double teamed. And it's going to be just about every possession.
Look, I get frustration with him not being the man, but he did have 17 points, had 5 assists, 7 rebounds, but most importantly,
if I told
he
you
got
before
to the
game,
free throw line.
If I told you before the game Devin Booker only has 17 points in this game, do you think the Suns win?
Nope.
I mean, the first thing
I hear is crapping all over one of the Suns players.
You missed all the good stuff, Dave, for 20 minutes into the podcast.
I'm the only one positive in this whole conversation.
What's going on?
Matthew's the positive guy.
How is Matthew the positive guy? I'm sitting here defending
welcome,
Devin Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen who are listening to the podcast versus watching the podcast, to Dave King. He has joined us. Dave, what's that shirt say? The 12? What is that Sun shirt you're wearing?
It says the timeline, baby.
Oh, the timeline. Okay, that's fantastic.
Guess when the Suns got good again in 2020, just like they always said they would.
Hey, who came up with that great tagline? That is a fantastic tagline.
Some loser on the internet.
Pay that guy.
Someone else stole it from him.
Yeah, some
pay
loser, and then somebody else.
It looks like he's in his basement on his gaming console in my, with his big leather chair.
I am in my brother-in-law's theater room.
Are you 16 again?
I wish. I feel like I'm your age, so you know that's not a good thing.
So well, how are you doing,
not
Dave?
16,
how are you
I'll tell
doing?
You that.
Tell us what you saw tonight from Devin Booker. Join the Devin Booker conversation.
What I saw
and
from
then
Devin
it up
Booker
there.
Is he's still getting all the Lakers' attention, and he handled it a lot better tonight than he did on Thursday night. That's for sure. That dude's kept his head the entire game. The Lakers were going after him, and you know they had their schemes. And you know what? We all knew their schemes were not going to work if Chris Paul was Chris Paul. And guess what? Their schemes did not work. Chris Paul just had all the room in the world to move, and he did. Now the Lakers are going to have to adjust again. And guess what? Devin Booker's going to get a little bit less attention. Guess what? He's probably going to look a lot like he did on game one. Because when you're not being double and triple teamed with every defender shading towards you and leaving the other guy, other guys undefended, gosh, hey, Jay Crowder made a couple threes. Now you can't leave him completely alone anymore. So I'm feeling very positive about the Suns going forward in this. It feels like they're coming back.
The only caveat I will say to that, and I understand where you're coming from, Dave, I do, is that you got to make adjustments, right? And I think Devin Booker hasn't made the adjustments that I'd like to see yet. Like, for instance, CP3, early in the third quarter, he was struggling getting the ball across half court against Dennis Schroeder because he was playing a lot of pressure. So what did he do? He just deferred to everybody else. And then played his game and found his spots. And I think Devin had half the team's turnovers tonight, 5 out of 10. Like,
he always has half the team's turnovers every game.
Well, I want him to improve.
They still won 51.
They won the freaking game. I don't care if Devin
Booker scored. Yes, let's stop shitting all over him.
I don't care.
Well, okay. Let me change the subject
picture,
then.
Guys. Wait, Saul, finish your thought.
I don't care about the immediate future. I care about the big picture. I want to win the series, and I think to win the series, he does have to play a little bit better.
I'm with you, Saul. With that.
There you go. Well, there's. Go ahead, Matthew.
He's not triple teamed.
I'm with you.
Go ahead, Matthew.
All right. How about this?
I'm with Saul.
Let's get off Booker.
A lot better.
You know, Devin Booker was spending the weekend hanging out, having a good time. Came out and won a game. Okay, that's what's important. 5 for 14.
You guys are riding
field.
Devin Booker so hard. No. Smooth baller of the week.
Ooh.
Ooh, okay.
They're riding him harder than Kendall,
ball,
all right?
Chafing ball.
Oh, my God, guys. Come on.
That's him right now.
Rubbing all the hair off.
Ayton Watch 2021.
DeAndre Ayton, once again, showcased his ability to be a dominant big man in this game. 14 points, 17 rebounds, 6 for 8 from the field for DeAndre Ayton. He continues to wow. He continues to make numerous people eat their words. And, you know, as I look at the way that DeAndre Ayton plays, I feel like the Lakers kind of want him to do what he wants to do. He's not their main focal point in this game. You can see the way that offensively, they're pressing.
They don't want him doing what he's doing defensively.
Exactly. And that's the key. I was going to get to that. Dave, you're so – the timeline, you're so ahead of your game. It's crazy. But – offensively, they're letting him do what he wants to do because they're pressing the guards, they're pressing Devin Booker, they're pressing CP3, they're trying to create turnovers from the front court, our guard play. But defensively, he was absolutely again fantastic tonight. Whenever you have Anthony Davis prior to his injury fading away from the basket versus going towards the basket is a good thing. And whenever DA was getting those switches and had an opportunity to be on Anthony Davis, he was doing just that. He was a pest inside the interior. I tip my hat. I drink my beer. Cheers to you, DeAndre Ayton. I never doubted you. I never doubted you.
You know what I would have liked to see is in the
Here
fourth.
Here we go.
No, I'm not going to.
I know,
though.
Right? Let's
Shut
talk about something else.
Let me say it, okay? Yeah. Let me say this.
Let
okay?
there be peace when the, on earth.
When the Lakers were making their run, the Suns were shooting a lot of perimeter shots. And I would have liked to see them get the ball down low inside and give DA an opportunity or two.
100% agree. Matthew was saying the same thing. We're watching the game right here at Four Peaks. He's like, why are
What's
they
that?
Taking
What's
those
that?
Quick threes?
What'd you just say?
I agree. Well? You're right on that. Okay. Because the Lakers seem, like you guys are saying, to be wanting to give him whatever he can get. So feed him in that situation at the end of the game. And let him prove that he can get to the line and do those things. Like, he played amazingly. And that's without – we haven't even mentioned his rebounding, right? We talked defense. We talked offense. On the glass, he was spectacular tonight. 17 boards. The Suns still get out-rebounded by 41-40. But Ayton single-handedly kept them close in the rebounding numbers, and I love to see that from him because it's not easy rebounds. He's tipping balls to himself. He's positioning himself where he can get the shot, like, or where he can get the rebound off a missed shot. He was fantastic on the glass, and I think he deserves more praise for what he does in that portion of the game. He's smart with it. He is very, very good, and I won't say Rodman-esque, but you see some of the style that Rodman would do with the tipping the ball, knowing where the ball is going to come off the rim. I'm very excited about that.
And
part.
I was like, and then I was, you know, I was like this.
A little,
and then
like,
see the ball
like,
here. Yeah.
And then Jordan took it personally.
Yeah, honestly, DA, he's doing more than what we expected, right? He's absolutely playing way better than we expected. He's doing more than what we wanted. So it's like the teammates around him need to stand up. That's what happened today. A lot of them stood up. Booker, I mean, I don't even know if I said a word about him, but he honestly didn't have a really great game, but we just talked about him, so I'll move on. But Ayton himself, he can pass out of situations, tip the ball like you're talking about. He makes the right decisions. He's the only guy in the court right now I'm watching. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I don't say that towards him. I'm like, he knows exactly what to do on defense and on offense. The guys around him are the only ones that need to fill in and step up, and they have to. They did today. Let's see if that carries on, because he is basically the focal point of the offense and the defense. Everything is going around him, kind of like he's the sun. Everyone's orbiting around him. That's the way it should be. And if these guys can step up and just hit big shots, dude, this series is in the Suns' hands. So I'm glad his teammates helped him out tonight, because he, of course, he played his ass off again tonight.
And this is why I thought the whole the big man's dead in the NBA storyline that we heard for a few years was BS. Because when you have a guy like that, it's gravity. People start to move in towards him. It opens up things. It changes things. And he's just embraced that in this series, and I love to see it. And he's earned himself a hell of a lot of money in these four games so far.
And I'll tell you what, you know, Matthew, to your point, they did knock down some shots tonight. You know, the Suns ended with a total field goal percentage of, you know, only 43%. And from the three-point line, 28.6%, so they didn't knock down the shots. But if they knock down those shots, this team becomes unbelievably lethal. Dave, you're rejoining us. I guess Devin Booker was at the podium.
Yeah, what was he wearing? CP. I mean, it was campaign, not Devin Booker.
Well, what campaign have to say? Another great game for campaign. I mean, he entered this game as the third highest scorer for the Phoenix Suns, and he continued to make – I mean, he took LeBron off the dribble. That was one of my favorite moments of this game, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey. Yeah. All I got to say is –
yes, sir. He's worth more than $1 million. I'll tell you that.
No, Cam had a great game. He spent a lot of the time talking about how happy he was that Chris Paul was back. He just loves – obviously, loves being the backup to Chris Paul and not having all of the need to score. I mean – you know, somebody just said in the chat it helped that KCP was out. And, of course, Davis being out in the second half, for sure. Just like it helped the Lakers when Chris Paul was
playing
like
Tyler Ulis.
Yeah,
you have to win that game, though, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it was nice for the Lakers for two games without having Chris Paul out there. So, yeah. I don't feel bad for anybody.
Yeah, no, nice. Wholeheartedly.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it wholeheartedly, you can't – I don't feel bad for the Lakers because now they're dealing with what the Suns dealt with. It's just the way a 7-game series goes. And now we got a real series here.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I loved about this game is that it truly was a team game. Everybody chipped in. Everybody played very well for the most part. And I just thought, you know, you got six guys scoring in double figures and hitting big shots. Campaign, to me, I think one of the big adjustments Monty made was he understood that campaign is basically unguardable one-on-one. He is too quick for any of the Laker defenders. And once they opened up the offense and let campaign just go to work, campaign went to work and created opportunities for himself and got some key baskets in the game. And I mean, dude, I couldn't be happier for that dude, for sure.
And he took LeBron on, right? How many of those layups came against LeBron? That was the best thing to watch tonight, is him taking him to the rim. And finishing.
If you watch the Lakers, they hide LeBron on defense to try and conserve his energy.
Yes.
LeBron, every time Kaminsky came into the game, LeBron was guarding Kaminsky to really conserve his energy. And I'm like, Monty, we got to figure out a way to fucking get LeBron in the fold, because you got to tire that dude out.
They were trying to hide him towards the last 5 minutes of the game. I think LeBron was maybe saving some of that energy for the last 5 minutes, because it showed, right? I mean, the Suns had the lead 15, 16 points. 5 minutes game, then LeBron started to turn on. It was too late. I mean, he didn't have Anthony Davis. He didn't know what to do. He actually seemed kind of invincible out there. I didn't even notice he was on the court till he would receive a pass, but he wasn't doing too much towards the end. I think a lot of it was just saving his energy, but I mean, it can't work like that every game. I think LeBron thinks he's setting the Suns up. He thinks he knows how this playoffs are going to go. He thinks he can just, you know, basically come out there and play his game, but then save some energy. And against the Suns team where he's just like, oh, okay, well, I'll just come in and play 5 minutes and we'll win the game. It's not that case anymore, man. The Suns team is actually a team, and he has to put up with it, especially if AD does not return. He has a lot at hand, and it's the most he's ever had to, I feel like, face in a playoff series leading up to the championship.
Yeah, it's a first time in a first round he actually has to put forth effort to take care of his opponent.
And with Anthony Davis hurt, yes, that's going to happen. Because you think about that fourth quarter run for the Los Angeles Lakers, and you put Anthony Davis in the fray, and it does become more difficult for the Suns because then they can start to play the superstar game. Boom, it's LeBron. Boom, it's AD. And they go back and forth, and the role players step up, and then it could potentially it wouldn't have turned out the way it did. But that's just the way that it has to go now. Now LeBron James has to carry this. We'll see what happens going into game number five, which is going to be absolutely paramount. If you are a Suns fan, go to the stadium. Be loud. Don't sell your tickets to Lakers fans. I say this all the time, but continue to have that mindset. Beat LA. Okay, but LeBron James, I'll bring this up. Okay, again, Suns win. I'm happy. I'm ecstatic. I'm 2 for 2 in Suns games when it happens at 12:30. I'm 2 for 2 when I go to a bar locally in Phoenix, Arizona, and the Suns, they win those games. I'm 2 for 2 wearing Jordans. Okay. I wore like regular old Nikes in games 2 and 3 and they lost. So, I mean, there's a lot of superstitions that happen when you watch the playoffs. Okay. All these little things kind of happen. But when you look at game five going to game four, what happened just now, what was up with that LeBron pass to himself? The refereeing was shitty again tonight. I think we can all agree. It's nicer to talk about this subject after a win. But, I mean, what about the double dribble LeBron passed to himself? What about the call that was ultimately challenged and overturned after, another bullshit? I mean, there was a lot of that stuff, man.
To be fair, it went both ways in this game. The Lakers got some non-calls. I mean, they probably could have called Crowder for a flagrant foul, just like they could have called Marc Gasol. I mean, there were multiple things.
They could have called, the Marc Gasol one. That I think that could have been a flagrant foul. They could have called DA for just being so fucking awesome. Because I can't get over how great he was.
Yeah, look, I tonight's not a night that I think the refs, complaining about the refs. I mean, maybe in the first half, yeah, there were some rough patches there in officiating. Obviously, that was a double dribble by LeBron. But all in all, I felt like this was a pretty evenly bad called game on both sides. It was, but game five, looking at that, is going to be fascinating. With people I'm happiest for are the fans. They get to see a truly important basketball game, one that's going to be unbelievably exciting. And if the atmosphere is anything like game one or game two, I mean, if that cranks up another notch, it's going to be intense. And it's not like the Lakers just don't have the amount of fans in the building. The Suns are going to have 16,000 on Tuesday in that building. It is a true home court advantage, and hopefully they can ride that wave.
I completely agree. The Suns are set up. It's a three-game series now, and you got two of the next three at home. Yep. You got to take care of business in game five. You don't want to see the Lakers at home at their place in game six with everything on the line. You just know AD would somehow finally fix his leg and come back and ball out, right? An update on AD, by the way, Frank Vogel says that he's undergoing further evaluation, and they'll provide an update tomorrow. So it's not really much.
Now, the opposite groin of his knee injury. Am I correct or am I incorrect in saying that? Was it a left knee strain and a left groin?
I think he has injuries everywhere.
It's the same leg. I think it's the same groin, same leg.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. Again, like Espo said, I'm excited for game five. I think everybody should be excited for game five. It's going to be loud. It's going to be rocking. And the Suns, I expect them to come out. Now they've got a lot of playoff experience under their belt, right? They've gotten four games. That should be enough to calm the nerves and get ready to go. And I expect them to come out and really play with their hair on fire and hopefully send a message to the Lakers like, you got to close out teams when you can. And you can't take things lightly and kind of come into the playoffs half-assed like you did. And we'll see.
Yeah, look, the Lakers threw their punch in game three. The Suns gave them a haymaker back in game four. And now home court's back in Phoenix's favor. And it's take care of the two in Phoenix, and you win in seven. Been saying that the whole time, and I still think that's going to be the case. I think they're going to win in seven in this series.
What a fantastic playoff basketball, ladies and gentlemen. Playoff basketball, there's nothing like it.
Jam star of the game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching along live on YouTube, this is a reminder to subscribe hit that thumbs up button and hit the little bell as well. That will notify you whenever we go live here on the Suns Jam Session and the Suns Solar Panel Podcast. And this is also your opportunity to let us know in the chat who you believe your jam star of the game is. Let's go around the horn. We'll start with you, Matthew. Matthew, who is your jam star of the game?
It's absolutely DeAndre Ayton. I just feel like he did everything right. I usually choose these awards by who I don't yell at the most. And DA comes away. You know, I mean, I was over here with 2 minutes left saying Suns are going to lose. That's just the way I am as a fan. And I'm sorry.
At the bar
and I am
Matthew
sorry.
Today.
No one is going to ever invite me over again.
You're such a rookie when it comes to the playoffs, Matthew.
You got
to
realize that. I've said this
I was in diapers. So
coming
last
into
time.
This, I go, this is Matthew's
first 11 years time. Old in diapers.
Matthew's first time ever watching Suns playoff games in a bar environment is right now. Because last time they were in the playoffs, Matthew was like 19. So he had just missed out experiencing what it's like. So, yeah, he is a rookie. And we are going to walk him through how to do it. It's like, listen, dude, if the Suns are up 10 with 2 minutes to go, don't tell me they're going to fucking lose.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't want to hear that bad juju. I don't want this to be a part of my life, you know? So, but he gives it to Ayton. We've got some people in the chat. We got Campaign. We got CP3, DA, Point God. Saul, who are you giving it to?
I'm going to give it to CP3. I just think the way he was able to bounce back, you could see that he was, you know, he was playing for his own confidence and his own, you know, manhood, right? And I think he showed up big time. He had a couple buckets. He turned to the sideline, was like, I'm back. That kind of tells you, like, he's feeling himself and he's feeling pretty good. And so I expect in the next couple of days, you know, it's just going to be even better. His arm's going to heal up a little bit more. And we're going to get the real CP3 from here on out, hopefully, provided nothing bad happens. So.
All right, before we hand it off to Espo, it looks like R in the YouTube chat says, Matthew did predict an injury. It just happened to the L.A. Lakers.
Just keep listening to me, guys. Just keep listening.
I don't know what
to hate. I don't care what happens to me as long as the Suns win.
There you go. All right, Espo, who is your jam star of the game?
I'm going to go off the board. Nobody said him yet, but I think Jay Crowder. I mean, without the way Jay played on defense, some of those threes that he hit, I know it wasn't always pretty in this game, but that was what they've been missing. They got it from Crowder. They got the big win. I'm going to give it to him. But also, shout out to Torrey Craig. 5 points, five rebounds, a big block in 11 minutes today. Those were minutes in the first two games that were going to Dario Saric that weren't meaningful minutes. And you get 11 solid minutes out of Torrey Craig. He deserves some praise, too, because it's those little things that I think helped get the Suns back on track today.
And shout out to Torrey Craig's headband. Rocking the orange headband looked fantastic today. The juice was loose. Big fan of the way that he played today. I'm going to go with what Saul said. CP3, I mean, this series hinges on CP3's health. He's the point god. He is the motor behind this Suns offense. And when you see him hit the middies, when you see him shooting the three ball, and at least hitting rim, you know, versus what Saul saw before the game in game two or game three or whatever.
Game two.
I mean, we all as Suns fans now have confidence. And that was the one thing that we didn't have after the last two games was confidence in this team, confidence in the – no, we know what this team is. And I wrote something recently for Bright Side of the Sun that says, hey, listen, the Suns are right where they are or right where they should be. Okay, right where they are. Relatively speaking, you know, you are where you are. No, they're right where they should be, though. You know, they're a team that 2 years ago won 19 games, and then last season just missed the playoffs, winning 34 games. And now they're in the first round, and just as fate would have it, they're playing the Los Angeles Lakers. So, yeah, fate can be kind of cruel sometimes. But they're battling in the first round the way they should be. They need confidence in themselves. Jay Crowder, to Espo's point, needed confidence in himself. Torrey Craig needed confidence in himself. Everybody up and down this lineup needed some confidence. And that happens when CP3 is on the court managing these teams. You know, he's the older brother, the much older brother for, you know, some of these guys. And when they look over and they see him have the ball and him playing with the tenacity and the tenaciousness that he does, it's going to be a good game for the Suns regardless of the outcome. Today, that outcome happens to be an 8-point victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. It is now a best 2 out of 3 series. We have the home court advantage. There's nothing wrong with just yelling, screaming, getting a little crazy over these next couple nights. If you have Lakers fans in your life, do me a favor. Don't say shit to them. They know, and they know that you know, and you know that they know that you know, and that's what's important, okay? You talk shit to those Lakers fans.
They don't know that.
Do they know that, though? I'm not sure if they know, bro.
Guys, I gotta bounce.
Are you out?
I gotta bounce, too.
But I gotta. Let me just say this.
Tuesday, game five, biggest game we've seen, I think probably
ever.
Not ever.
Matthew, but this is,
it's
Matthew.
Huge.
Rookie.
Get the win, and you got two shots to close it out. It is massively important. The fans need to get out there, be loud, be proud. It is time to beat LA and Suns in seven. I'll see you guys later.
Love it. Thank you for joining us, Espo.
Thank you, Espo.
Don't push over a steer. All right, cool. You know, my parting shot, honestly, is man, I great way to bounce back, especially what happened on Thursday night and how they got trounced. But they showed the NBA that they are for real. And hey, also, anything can happen in these playoffs. All you need is one injury and it can change the course of an entire series, and we've seen that twice already in this series alone. So it's going to be an exciting, you know, last three games, and you know, first one to two wins.
It's here a bad series to wear jersey number three, is it not?
Yes.
Thank you, Saul. Welcome back, Dave King. Saul, we'll see you come game five. So, Dave, who was at the podium? Did you hear Jay Crowder speak? And if so, what did he say?
Yeah, so first up was Monty. He was just talking about how thrilled he was that he didn't have to sit Chris Paul, because he was just so worried. About, they have a long history, guys. They obviously, Monty coached Chris Paul 10 years ago, and he knows Chris Paul's injury history in the playoffs, and he knows how badly Chris Paul wanted to play in this game. And it was killing him to have that conversation. But apparently they had a long conversation before the game where, and I heard Chris Paul here talk about it as well as Monty Williams a few minutes ago. Monty was telling him, look, man, if you can't be Chris Paul, then you've got to sit. Just like we were saying, a lot of us were saying, if you can't be Chris Paul, you can't be out there anymore. And Chris said, he said, yeah, I need a minute. He called his brother. He called his agent, called other people in his family. And then he went and he talked to Jay Crowder and he went to talk to Devin Booker, and they all agreed that, look, man, give me 2 minutes, 2 minutes in this game. If I don't feel like I'm going to play well and you guys think I'm playing like whatever word he used, but you know, crap, then we'll decide at that point to pull me out. And then he even had like, he had a bit of a slow start in this game, but he played okay in the first quarter. But then the second quarter, Chris Paul was just talking about the fact that when the Lakers had that little run and they got up by 10, 11 points, something like that, and LeBron was showboating again, you know, nice front runner there. And Chris Paul was like, man, I was there. I was on the court and I felt like it was on me. And I went and talked to Jay and we talked to Monty. And again, those are his guys, man. And Jay made a couple of shots, and the Suns got back in the game, and then they all knew that they had it, even before the unfortunate injury to Anthony Davis, you know. And that's just the way it is, man. You don't know how a single injury, just like Saul just said, can change the course of a series. We've already had two big ones right now. Hopefully, I hope Anthony Davis is back on Tuesday. I really do. Fully healthy. I don't know if he can be, but fully healthy. And I want Chris Paul to be fully healthy. And I want to see how they play all healthy. I don't want one team hurting and the other team not. I want everyone healthy. Now, Chris Paul did express that he was surprised he played as well as he did. I think it was just sheer will that got him out there playing like he did today. Because as of minutes before the game, he was not sure he could even go.
And percentage-wise on how good he probably feels, what do you think, Dave? You think he's creeping towards 80%, maybe? That, because he played pretty decent.
His body is probably 20%, 50%, 40%.
Oh,
but his brain has carried that to about 75 or 80.
So somewhere in the middle. Then.
That dude, 18 points, 9 assists, 0 turnovers, and 3 steals with no right arm. A couple of those steals he got with his right arm, you know, swinging it wildly. It's just crazy how good he played.
That was a fantastic performance by CP3, gutty performance, and vital to this, you know, because, I mean, that was a lot of the chatter coming into this game. It's like, you know, do you sit Chris Paul? And if so, do we have an opportunity to actually beat this team and win this series? And
when they needed to sit Chris Paul, was it 1-1? That's when they
agreed. Game going into game 3. He actually admitted
the reason he attributes a little bit of his feeling good today to having literally a day of not basketball for the first time since the injury, because they had him not practice on Saturday. They told him just to rest up and we'll see how you feel Sunday morning. And he said, you know, they keep telling me rest is all I can get, but I don't want rest. That's what he said.
He never does. I've got to play.
And he thinks that that is the turning point. Having that 2-day break instead of 1-day break between games is the turning point. And he's feeling confident, obviously, going forward, because it seems like every game is getting a little bit better. So if we can get the good Chris Paul back, that'll be so fun.
Well, and now we turn our sights to Tuesday, which is game 5. So there is just 1 day off in between, you know, game 4, game 5. We go back to this kind of quick turnaround schedule for the Phoenix Suns. It'll be interesting to see how he performs. Obviously, oh, what's that, a Corona?
Corona Premier. Not because they show those freaking commercials every 5 minutes on TNT. I already had these.
Is there a lime in that, though?
No, I drink it raw. I just drink it straight.
Well, we're drinking Four Peaks here.
I drink my coffee black, and I drink my beer.
I got water now.
Yeah, don't put fruit in beer. It's not right. But we're drinking Four Peaks. Again, shout out to Four Peaks. Thank you ever so much for hosting us and allowing us here. We really appreciate it. But, yeah, as we look towards game 5, you know, obviously the health of Chris Paul, the health of anybody who wears the jersey number 3 in this series is going to be paramount, because we don't know what the status of Anthony Davis is going to be. And I'm with you, Dave. I want to beat this team at the best.
Yeah.
You know, you never want excuses. You never want the opposition to be like, well, you know, one of our all-stars was out. You know, we could say the same thing for the Phoenix Suns. I don't think any Phoenix Suns fan sat around and felt, you know, was saying, no, we would have beat you if Chris Paul was playing every one of these minutes. Because I'll tell you, in game 3, we were overmatched. I felt like it was a coaching adjustment
matter. Like it would have been every game.
Game 2 could have.
Monty was stressing. Look, Monty was stressing yesterday in the off. He's like, man, as bad as everybody feels right now and as deflated as everyone felt at the end of game 3, it's still just 2-1. One win on Sunday, the series is tied, and it's a whole new series because then we get to go home to Phoenix. So all it takes, that's the nature of the playoffs. After every win, you feel like you're never going to lose again. After every loss, you feel like you're never going to win again. That we're already experiencing that because it's the Lakers who are playing in the first round. And Dave's a man's man.
I mean, that's true.
Because I drink my Corona straight. Is that it?
Yeah,
okay. My light beer Corona Premier. Yes, you're like
the Dos Equis guy, you know, the most interesting man on the
Are you standing up right now, Dave? Are you standing?
Yeah, I'm standing up. I got one of those desks.
Very cool,
I can't be sitting right now.
I hear you.
That's the hardest thing.
I feel tall. We're getting an ask, you know, in the chat for you to stat us with something. So is there any stat you're willing to
randomly post? I just did. Chris Paul.
All right, hold on.
Nine assists.
Okay.
All right, here, I'll come up with a different stat.
Okay.
The Suns won this game, still only shooting 28% from 3. How about that?
That's insane. Coming into this game, what was one of the things that everybody was talking about? It's like, listen, the Suns can beat the Lakers if they hit their shots, because the shots will be there.
But they have proven all year that if they play with the right amount of effort, they don't need those threes to win the game. But they made the big threes at the right time, didn't they? Jay Crowder, you asked about what he said in the chat post game. So he was just like, look, okay, so first of all, Monty said Jay was kind of down on Thursday, and then he was down on Friday. Saturday was back to himself, and then today obviously he had a really good game. Jay, for his part, was like, no, everything's the same. Every game's the same. Sometimes the shots goes in, sometimes the shots don't go in. He is the most up and down shooter I have ever seen. The guy missed 9 in a row. Then you know, it's likely on one of these next games he's going to make 6 of 8, and they're all going to be contested, and that's why we need that.
And he's moving his way up towards that.
Yes, he's moving his way up towards that. It was nice seeing Mikal Bridges actually make some shots too. Mikal needs to find his way in this series. He's a little bit thin and small. Yeah, 25. Little bit thin for the big front line, and he's being forced to play a lot of – I mean, the Lakers are playing LeBron James at small forward. It's tough for Mikal to stand up to that. The dude just – he's Inspector Gadget, but when you get into his chest, you can bump him back. So Cam Johnson has a little bit more sand in the bucket than Mikal does. So it's been tough for Mikal in this series, but I'm looking forward to him having a couple of good games. He certainly made the shots he needed to make today. That's for sure.
Well, that's really good.
Definitely. And all season long, I feel like we didn't expect too much from Cam Johnson or Mikal Bridges. really to do too much on offense. But in this series, you kind of don't expect it to because of the LeBron James factor. But he's kind of moving his way in there. You saw a few more shots inside. You see him feel a little bit more comfortable from three. So that's good to see because you want as much as you can get going into game five.
Sand in the bucket, Chuck Stabar, not sand in the butt.
All right, sand in the butt. Sorry, whatever you guys are talking about. Going into game five, honestly, I know we want Anthony Davis to be healthy, but to be confident in this team to win, I would like him to be. Of course, he's never going to be more than probably 60% out there now, Anthony Davis. I don't want him to play, but if he does play, you know he's not going to be at, you know, his normal self. He's going to be hurt no matter what, just like Chris Paul. So whatever the Suns do to go out there and to face the Lakers in game five to try to take this one over, I don't want Davis to be there at all. When he went out hurt, I was super excited, and I know that's terrible, but it's absolutely true because that's the only way to get confidence as a fan out there to think that we have a chance to win. So I'm not looking forward to him playing
again.
I totally
disagree, Matthew. I love
I know. Pick. Everyone disagrees.
I really do. Everyone at the end disagrees. Of the show, it's like you save these up for the end of the show. You need to name this segment. Boy, yes, you got to name this segment.
We'll call it Matthew Finally Talks. We'll call it Matthew
Freak
Finally
Me
Talks.
Out. Matthew, yeah. Or something yeah. like that.
Matthew freaks me out or something.
Freaks us out because I do not look forward to needing somebody else to get injured for me to feel like the Suns can win. I feel like Suns can win any game that they're fully healthy. No, I know you did. And that is the worst. Stop it. Don't
I predicted Anthony
injury.
Davis to get.
Well, I know.
All right. So anyway, let's rein it in here. I got a question for both of you, crazy some bitches. You know, you look at the starting five for the Lakers tonight. You have 6 points from Anthony Davis. Obviously, he got injured. You had 5 from Andre Drummond. You had 8 from Dennis Schroeder, which I think is absolutely huge for the Suns to shut down Schroeder. And you had 6 from Wes Matthews as he started in place of KCP. The only starter for the Los Angeles Lakers to score in double figures was LeBron James, 25. Can we replicate this going into game five?
Okay, yes. And let me tell you why. You can do the stat me again if you want to. But the Suns.
Hold on. This is too good.
Statting you guys a couple of times today, baby. All right. The Suns, after being killed in the games 2 and 3 in the paint, the Suns actually had more points in the paint today, 44-36 than the Lakers. Do you know how they did that? It's not because the Lakers got lazy. You saw Anthony Davis, you saw LeBron James, every one of them drive into the paint. Kyle Kuzma, little blonde-haired boy. I don't care what color his hair is. Anyone days.
I don't know what it is anymore.
But
zero is not a number.
They were all driving into the paint, and they were all getting stopped because the Suns actually, what they did is they spent the last couple of days repracticing their defense to protect the paint without having all the size that all these other teams have, and that's what they did. Every time Schroeder got in there, Kyle Kuzma, all those guys were driving. There was 3 Suns in the paint, and yet they still didn't have room to kick back out to an open three because the Suns know how to shift and then scramble back. That was really fun to watch. The Suns really had just rehoned in on their defense, guarding the paint, and it worked really well. Only LeBron James, because he's LeBron James, right? 6'9", 290, and he can fly. Yeah, he can get
and
to
he
the
can
rim.
Fall.
We and he could, well, yeah, he was not fouled on a couple.
But you know, again, we go into game five. We go into game five, and we know that Frank Vogel, his team, they're going to try to make that adjustment as well. And you know, the question is this sustainable for the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah, so it's sustainable because this is the Lakers game, and if the Suns can actually pack the paint on their drives and know when they're and also shift back to just give reasonable contests on the 3-pointers, those guys are not good 3-point shooters. They could have a good day here and there, but they're not good 3-point shooters. So if you pack the paint and you defend well enough to make it that so they don't kill you down there, and obviously the Suns didn't foul like crazy again today, which was nice to see. So that is the big difference in the game, and that is sustainable as long as the Suns are on their game and they practice it and they saw it work and they can do it again.
No one wants to get killed down there. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man.
I'm more confident with the Lakers taking those wide open threes than anything in the paint. Even if it's like triple defenders in there for the Suns against LeBron or Anthony Davis, if he's healthy, I want them to shoot the wide open three. I honestly can watch that on the TV instead of hiding my eyes every time they go in the paint. So I'm way more comfortable with that.
Well, and to your point, Matthew,
Suns are winning two out of three if it's up to Wes Matthews and Ben
Maxwell
shoot them into the games.
Yes.
The Los Angeles Lakers shoot 35% on the season from three. That is 21st best in the league. So this isn't, you know, for those of you who have been watching a lot of playoff basketball, and I don't know, you know, some people are just casual Suns fans and they're joining us. So thank you. Welcome. Hit subscribe, hit thumbs up and like. Maybe you are a more seasoned NBA watcher. But, you know, when you watch teams like the Nets and the Bucks, and, you know, these are teams that are flamethrowers from downtown. You know, the Lakers, they are not. They're a team that likes to beat you with size, with physicality, and with, you know, a little flopping along the way, because that's who their two big guys are. You know, they're not a guard-centric team. They are LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They are a forward-centric team. So if we can shut them down from the outside, and again, going in, you hit the best stat that I've been that makes me smile as we look forward in the series, Dave. The Suns did not shoot well from three. Everybody said coming into this game, the Suns need to shoot better from three.
Right.
And we still won the game. And that is unbelievably paramount. That, again, that is that as a Suns fan, as a member of the Phoenix Suns, you go into game five with the confidence knowing that you still haven't played your best basketball yet. Your best basketball of this series was the first like 16 minutes before Chris Paul got injured in game one. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so game five predictions. Before we get out of here, we're going to go around. Matthew, we're going to end with you because you always have a great prediction, and I'm just really interested to see. It's funny because he's sitting over here, but on the screen he's over here, so I should really do like this so it looks right. Like, Matthew, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say. But, Dave, we'll start with you down there.
I turned the wrong way still.
I'll start with
there. All right, down below. Am I the White Thunder from Down Under? Is that
yes, you're the White Thunder. The Silver Thunder from Down Under.
Silver Thunder from Down Under.
Do you have a mercy word? All right.
Mercy word. Safe word. All right. There's a moot talk in the chat asking if Game 5 is a trap game, and I'm sorry, I can't keep a straight face. How in the world can Game 5 of a playoff series that you were just down 2-1 and the end of your season was just about to occur, that we're going to possibly call this a trap game? No. What I do worry about is LeBron James deciding that he is going to do everything he possibly can to win that game, and the Suns don't have an answer. Another person was asking about Marc Gasol being a difference maker for the Lakers. Look, man, if Marc Gasol was a difference maker for the Lakers, he'd have been playing more this year. He had a good game. He really did. He channeled his five-year younger version. Absolutely. Can he do it for three more straight games? No. And you know what? If Marc Gasol is their best chance to win a series, the Suns are winning this series. So LeBron needs help. He needs those guys. Schroeder is going to have to step up again, but he's going to have to make outside shots he's not very good at making. All those guys are going to have to make outside shots because the Suns now have adjusted. Now, you guys will notice, I don't know if we talked about this yet or not because I've been in and out of this, but the Suns are built to be a three-point line defensive team that allows points in the paint. And they have completely shifted that emphasis against the Lakers and showed today that they can win by defending the paint and giving up a little bit more on the three-point line. So while people are now I don't want anyone to start talking about the next series. We're going to get blown out on three-pointers if our whole defense is based on the paint.
Different series.
The Suns can – different series, different game to game, series to series. The strategy changes. Now the Suns know how to defend the Lakers in the paint. The Lakers are going to have to do two more games of hitting great on threes to beat the Suns now at this rate. And I don't know that they can do it. That's why all of a sudden this shifted, and all it took was one game, just like Monty said.
All right. Matthew, you go last.
Am I going last?
Last. Okay.
I just put on
Who wins game five, Dave?
Suns win game five. God damn it.
Okay. So we are coming back home. We're going to have that home crowd behind us. We are going to have
16,000 people.
Boom. 16K in the building. Okay. Hopefully, Matthew and I can finally make it out to one of these games. So that'd be really, really fun. And then we'll do this show from the parking lot. I don't care. We'll do it in my truck. But I honestly think that behind the shooting of the Phoenix Suns from three, if they can come out in game five and hit a couple of those big threes, that crowd will rise behind them. And then you have to deal with the mighty purple and orange wave. And I don't think it's enough for the Lakers to sustain. Anthony Davis obviously is the biggest question mark moving forward. You know, I see plenty of people in the chat, you know, agreeing with Matthew. It's like, listen, I don't want him out there. Let me be a realist. I don't want him out there. I see plenty of people saying, you know, what Dave and I are kind of referencing is like, listen, you want to beat them at their best. Listen, regardless of what happens, if AD's out there, if they're not, the fact that the Suns has the ability to shoot the three ball well, the fact that the Lakers, you know, they're fourth best in the league at guarding the three-point line, but we still are finding ourselves wide open on over 40% of our three-point shots thus far this series. If we start knocking them down, that crowd is going to get crazy. It's going to get loud. They've proved it before. There's going to be 16,000 Suns fans in there. We go up 3-2 on Tuesday. We come right back here for the podcast, and we talk about the potential of closing out the Los Angeles Lakers. So, Matthew, what do you think?
Well, with LeBron being out, Anthony Davis LeBron. Being out, if he is, well, who knows? He might not want to play because, honestly, he's going to have to give a full 48-minute effort, which LeBron hasn't done all season, right? He hasn't tried all season except for the beginning of the season, maybe when they started out great. But that energy that he needs to actually finish out the Suns in Game 5, it's not going to be there. So that's one thing to watch. If Anthony Davis is going to be hurt, I'm not just saying it because, yeah, I don't want him to play because he's their second best player and they're going to win if they have him on the floor because that's what's going to happen. If Anthony Davis is there, they'll probably end up winning. All right. The Lakers will probably win. But if he's not, the only reason that the Suns can win is because LeBron James has to throw that effort out there. He has to actually try, and that's going to be very, very difficult for him. You saw the rest of the Lakers team tonight to where they couldn't even handle dribbling the ball sometimes because they didn't even know what to do out there without Anthony Davis. So that is LeBron. That is the rest of their team. That's the way they're going to be in Game 5. If Anthony Davis does play, I'm not saying the Suns won't win. It's going to be very tough. That's why tonight I wanted to see them end this game better. But then when it comes to the situation, just like a quarterback going out and getting injured, the opposing defense doesn't know what to do as much. So adjusting to that was pretty hard on the fly for the Suns, even though it is Anthony Davis. But if you're going into Game 5 and knowing he's not going to be there, then you can plan for that. But the Suns can do the best they can. It's going to be a close game. But I'm going to say if Anthony Davis is there, the Lakers win. All right, just go with me. Just go with me. Don't even question me. Just go with me. All right, guys, I apologize.
Why do we let him go last?
I don't know, because it's always more entertaining.
Why am I on this podcast at all?
It's always more entertaining. That's what it's about. You know what? You get all sides of the angles when you have us all here. You know, you get the pros, the cons, that they're going to get injured. They're not going to get injured. You get it all when you come here and you join us. So,
hey, Marco H. asked if Game 5 is a must-win, and I love Monty's answer on Saturday.
Yes.
I love Monty's answer on Saturday. It was – I don't know what people are talking about where some games it's okay to lose in the playoffs. Yeah. Every game in the playoffs is a must win. Every single game is the same must win as the last game. Anthony Davis said yesterday in one of his pressers, he said, look, Game 4 is the biggest game of the series unless we get to a Game 7.
So, yeah.
Well, you know what? Game 5 is bigger now than Game 4 was for the Lakers, isn't it? And it's also bigger for the Suns too. Every game is bigger than the last. That's just the way it is.
So a lot of people in the chat hoping that Matthew is throwing that reverse jinx out there a la Bill Simmons. So kudos to Matthew for reverse jinxing all this shit. He's trying to keep balance in the universe.
You're not supposed to talk about it.
I'm sorry. Well, if people are talking about it, I'm going to say it. But on that note, we're going to wrap up the podcast.
It's not a reverse jinx if you actually say it's a reverse jinx. Now it's just a freaking jinx.
Now I don't even exist.
Now it's my fault. Now it's my fault. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and get out here. If you're watching along live on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, thank you. Thank you for after a Suns victory, you decided to come and hang out with a bunch of guys to talk about the Suns victory and some basketball. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. If you're a flaming baller on the Suns solar panel side, or you're a jamster or an elite jamster on the Suns jam session side, go ahead, you know, give us those thumbs ups. You can join either of those by clicking the join button or following the descriptions in the chat. Shout out again to the Phoenix Suns for holding it down. And shout out to Four Peaks Brewery for having us at their Tempe location. This has been absolutely fun. Yeah. Fantastic. Trevor, the GM here, you've been great to us. We really appreciate it. We're looking forward to coming back here probably in the second round or for like a game 7 or something. You know, we'll see how it all works out.
College finals.
Yes,
absolutely.
The NBA finals, we're going to be living here. So, you know, on that note, we thank everybody. You can follow the show at Suns Jam on Instagram, Twitter, and the Phoenix Fans app. You can follow the Suns Solar Panel at Suns Solar Panel on Twitter. You can follow me at Darth Voida. You can follow Matthew on Twitter.
At Matthew Lissy.
You can follow Dave on Twitter.
At Dave King NBA.
Because the NBA stands for nothing but ass. And on that note, shout out to Zane Zor for letting us use his BLA song.
Hey, I don't like to brag.
We'll see you on Tuesday, Suns fans. Beat LA, baby.
Yes. Please.
Cheers.
Go home with your family. Dude, that's the fifth time, John. Sorry. I'm out of here.
Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Let me hear it. Come on, let me hear you say.